Welcome to Winning Ways, a Smarter Sales Career. I'm Gary Pittard and I'm one of three presenters that you'll have over these next 3 days. The second presenter is Andrew Trim and the third presenter is Adam Horth. And each of these gentlemen have great knowledge of not only real estate but real estate leadership, what it takes to make winners, what it takes to develop winners, and I'm sure that you'll benefit greatly from their input throughout Winning Ways, a Smarter Real Estate Career. This manual is divided into 10 foundations, 10 foundations that are essential for a great career. And these 10 foundation, one builds upon the other, and just the same way as when it comes to building a house, there's certain things you have to do first. The foundations have to be solid, the foundations have to be in place. Since each foundation builds on the other, I recommend that you look at these foundations in order and make sure that you're strong in each of these foundations. Foundation one, building on foundation two, foundation three. Skip any foundations or find yourself weak in any foundations. I guarantee that you'll notice it in your results and therefore in your income as well. A smarter sales career. You know, we've all heard that saying, let's work smarter, not harder. Well, you know what? We need to work hard, but we need to work hard on the right activities as well. And I urge you to look at this manual and don't just treat it as a manual that, right, I've been to Winning Ways, that's great, put it on the shelf. I urge you to use this manual as a learning resource. If you looked at any of my old sales manuals, I can tell you I took notes on those manuals. I took the same manual to seminars and took more notes and more notes. And there was just as much value in the notes that were in the margins as there were in the words that were on the page. So I urge you to make sure that manual becomes a resource that you'll use constantly throughout your careers. Look, you know, it's interesting when you see people that have been through a boom. And when they've been through booms, you see the results and everybody's happy and everybody's going well. But you look at the results of the top 20 offices and you see how much overall the results have come down. It seems to me that with a change in the market, some offices are taking a little bit too long to recover from the change in the market. So when we're in a boom, there are certain things that we do differently to what we need to do in a downturning market. And some of those things, there's different conversations we have in the lounge room with sellers at the time of the listing. There's different conversations we have after we've got the signature and before we leave, during the cementing the sale section, when we make sure that we've got the listing set up to sell before we leave. There's also different conversations that we have while we've got the properties listed. And it seems to me that some salespeople are have allowed their knowledge to drop. And in allowing their knowledge to drop, then they're rusty. They're not as skilled at some of the actions that they need to be using in a downturning market. Because they haven't had to use those skills for a long time, they let those skills become rusty. And let me tell you, letting your skills become rusty, even if you're not using those skills as much, you let your skills become rusty, then I guarantee you at some point it'll come back to bite you in the form of lower results and lower income. And come on, as real estate salespeople, aren't we under a lot of stress when our results are poor? Would you agree? I mean, as salespeople, we have a lot more stresses than a typical person in a typical job. You know, if you were to look at, say a person in an administrative function in any kind of business, if they muck up, is the business likely to suffer a catastrophic failure? Is that person likely to get fired because they've made a mistake? Obviously not. Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? You'd hope that they wouldn't. But if there were continued mistakes, okay, you'd have to look at the competence of that person, I'm sure. But if someone makes a mistake in a typical business, then it's not going to be catastrophic, and that person's not going to get fired. But think about your role as a real estate salesperson. If you continue to underperform, that puts a huge amount of stress on the owner of the business, because the owner of the business also has goals, and the owner of the business also has to cover all the expenses. So I'm sure you'd agree that if you don't perform, if you don't bring money in the door, and not only does the leader have to pay your salaries, but the leader also has to cover all of the other expenses of the business. If you overpromise in the field, so in other words, if you get the seller convinced that they need premier advertising, and if you overpromise on and offer irresponsible giveaways to win the business, then the leader ultimately has to pay for that. Again, it puts more stress on the business. But it's not all stress for the leader, it's stress for you as well. If you underperform as a salesperson consistently, if you're in a slump and you stay there, not only do you have to worry about the drop in your income and therefore your ability to pay your bills and to feed your family, you also start to wonder after a while how long it's going to be before you're asked to leave. Now, we are in a performance business. Would you agree with that? So therefore, performance is something that we need to be focused on. We need to understand that as salesperson, if you have salesperson on your card, if you have, if that is your job description, if you are a salesperson, if that is your role, then you are in a performance business. You put your hand up to say, I will do the actions every day necessary to bring sales in the door to pay my way. That's what you signed on for. And so therefore, performance has to be at the forefront of our minds. That's our job description. We have to do the actions necessary to bring listings in the door. We have to work with those sellers to help them to understand where their property is priced in the market. We have to work with those sellers to make those listings saleable. We have to work with buyers and take the right buyers through properties and make sales to the right buyers. We have to make sure the buyers are happy, the sellers are happy. We have to make sure our leader's happy. We have to make sure our family's happy. And it all hinges on us doing the right actions in sufficient quantities at the right times. Would you agree? Okay, so that's the industry we're in, performance. And so if we treat it like a job that, I like to knock off at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, well, good on you. Who wouldn't? Who doesn't? But have you done everything that you need to do for the day? Have you got the weekend? Have you got Saturday set up with appointments? Have you done that? Have you followed up on all of your calls? Have you made your prospecting calls for the week? Have you done all of that? Well, I say, what are you doing knocking off early on a Friday, whether you like to or not? If you haven't done your work, what are you doing? We're in a performance business, and this is what we need to be thinking about. You know, Winning Ways, a Smarter Career, it's a program for people who treat sales as a profession. That's on page one of your manual. And we've got our big concern with this seminar, by the way, is Winning Ways. I've often said to you in the past, with previous versions of Winning Ways, our biggest dilemma is what do we leave out? Because it still is a 3-day seminar. I love it when people write on the evaluation sheets, it'd be good if it was 2 days. Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? Why not one day? In fact, why not bother? Why bother not doing it at all? You know, a smarter sales career, it takes time, let me tell you. It doesn't not only take time to deliver, but it takes time for a lot more time for you to absorb. And this manual is radically different from previous versions of Winning Ways. So please don't think that you're going to be able to just go for 3 days, put it on the shelf, and it's all in the head. It won't be, let me tell you. This takes some study. But it's for people who treat sales as a profession. It's for those who want to go pro. That's what it's for. It's for people who want to win and who are prepared to not just study, but to practice what they learn in the field and keep practicing those techniques until they get it right, because that's how we develop skill. It's not just the knowledge. I see a lot of people that seem to know the words, but they don't seem to know how to turn those words into results. Having it in here in the head, that's great. You have a greater chance of the right words coming out of your mouth if it's in your head. But I tell you what, it's through the practice that you get that you develop the skill. It's through the practice that you learn the timing. It's through the practice that you learn how to say things the right way with the right emphasis. It's through the practice that you learn those subtle nuances that are the difference between a pro and a typical real estate salesperson who is spending a huge amount of time in mediocrity. So once they get to that level, they'll stay there. And if you've got your highlighters at the end of the first paragraph, once at this level, they stay there. You know, it's not just a matter of getting your gold badge. It's a matter of qualifying for the next 3 years to keep that gold badge. It's not just a matter of getting that platinum badge. It's a matter of doing the work necessary to stay on top of your game, regardless of the market. And this is an important thing, regardless of the market. You know, if the market changes, we have to be quick to change with it. Real estate isn't easy money. When you think about it, do you know any profession at all where you can earn a six-figure plus income, you know, a nice high six-figure income without knowing what you're doing? You know, this is competence. This is competence in real estate sales. Professional salespeople are exceptionally well-trained, but not only are they well-trained, they're disciplined. You know, they won't go home without speaking to the right number of people that they need to speak to every day so that they get their listings and so that they make the sales necessary to bring in the fees to earn the income necessary to achieve their goals. They all fit in together. They're exceptionally well-trained. they're disciplined, they're focused, they care about their clients, and these things aren't mutually exclusive. Being disciplined, being focused, yeah, that's fine, but that doesn't mean you need to walk over people to be successful. It doesn't mean that you need to crunch people so that you sign them up for things that aren't right for them. We care about our clients. You know, we live in our areas. We want to work in our areas. We should have no fear of seeing anybody in the street because we know that we've treated them fair and square. So no one's going to ask you to compromise your values in winning ways. Successful salespeople understand the importance of the value chain. Can you highlight that, please? They understand the importance of their value chain. You know, and I say to a lot of salespeople, why should I list with you? Why should I pick you over your competitors? And you better realize your competitors are better trained than they were 5 years ago. They're a lot better trained than they were 10 years ago. So if a seller is going to pick you and you don't want them to pick you just because you've got the lowest fee, in fact, if they're choosing you because your fee is the lowest, that is a real skill problem. You should be more expensive than your competitors, and you should be well and truly versed in the areas where you are so much better than your competitors, and you should be able to show every seller why you are worth the money that you charge. Now, when I ask salespeople, why should I list with you, I just get rhetoric. Oh, we're the best. Really? Are you? How are you the best? In what area are you the best? You know, in Malaysia, they don't call them salespeople over there, they call them real estate negotiators. That's their official government tag. So you become a real estate negotiator. That means you're a salesperson. But I would have thought that in order to call yourself a real estate negotiator, you maybe might have had to study negotiation, and there's no negotiation in their courses. None. None whatsoever. So just because you say you are something, it doesn't mean you are. You need to be able to back that up with proof. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Okay, so what proof have you got to show that you're a great negotiator? What proof have you got to show that you've got a greater chance, a seller has a greater chance of getting a higher price if they're with you than they are with anybody else? And if you don't give these things thought, and it's not up to your leader, although your leader should be involved, and I have no doubt your leader would be involved in helping you assess your value chain, if you aren't right across this, and if you aren't passionately presenting this in the field, then you're going to look very, very similar to your competitors. Little things like this need a lot of thought. And they need a lot of thought, they need a lot of understanding, they need a lot of passion in their delivery. Are you better than your competitor? You probably think you are. Can you prove it? That's the question. What's your value chain? Winners know that. They know what it is and how it differentiates them from their competitors. The Smart Sale explained during the listing presentation provides a structured method, clearly articulating superior points of difference. Great salespeople also possess courage. Come on, you know, when I hear people say that they haven't prospected, they haven't spoken to 200 people in a week, you know, the amount of people that say, I'm busy, I'm too busy, or some of the amount of salespeople that say, I'm a bit lazy, you know, they say that, but they won't put their hands up and say, I'm gutless. Okay, but let's face it, there is a fear of self-promotion. It's called call reluctance. And if you have that, well, if you said, put your hand up in the room, those who were call reluctant, not are now, but were call reluctant, I would put my hand up to say that I was once in that category. But you know what I did? I got myself out of it. You know how I got myself out of it? By doing the things that I didn't like doing. And I didn't like prospecting. I didn't like going out speaking to people. You know why? Because apart from anything else, I didn't like rejection any more than some of you do. But I learned to understand that rejection is part of what we do. Okay? Better learn to handle it. You better get used to people saying no to you. Because if you're not going to get the no's, you're not going to get to the yes's. And you're not going to get to the yes's. And if you're not going to get enough no's, you're not going to get to enough yes's to reach your targets. So that's just something we have to get used to. We don't have to like it. But, you know, I'd rather have a no than a maybe. Wouldn't you? Love yes. Can tolerate no. Don't like maybe one little bit. I'll do something to turn a maybe into a yes or a no. I'd rather firm yes, firm no. But no is what we have to deal with. And if you're not going to put yourself out there and risk the no's, you're not going to get to the yeses. If you're not going to risk enough no's, you're not going to get to enough yeses to reach your target. These are important considerations. And if you're call reluctant, then fine. Understand that you're call reluctant. Don't beat yourself up for it. Go and speak to 1,000 people and then tell me if you're call reluctant. Okay? Go and do what you fear the most. Go and do it. But if you won't do it, this is not the game for you. It is not the game for you. The smart sale method is also going to take a good amount of learning for everybody in the room. Because it's no point talking about the smart sale. It's understanding the smart sale, knowing why it's smarter. Because when you do that, you'll deliver it with passion. And winners deliver all their concepts with passion. Remember, you won't be asked to compromise your integrity, but you will be asked to learn. You will be asked to get your head around certain concepts. You will be asked to deliver them with passion. Because what's the point of just delivering lines? Okay, there's no point doing that. All great salespeople have at some point in their career, highlight this last sentence for me, they decided to part company with mediocrity. And I tell you what, I've interviewed a lot of winners over the years, and every single one of them, at one point or another in their careers, they got sick and tired of being sick and tired, they made the decision to part company with mediocrity, and they made the decision to be the best that they can possibly be. And I can see certainly Kelvin in the front row nodding, but I can see others nodding as well. There was a point where you went, nah, enough's enough, I'm going to be the best I can possibly be. And that's when you decide to turn pro. And I hope that everybody in this room reaches that over the next 3 days. The fact that this is over on page two, the fact that you're participating in this program may indicate that you too have made that decision. You choose the type of salespeople that the salesperson you become. Can you highlight that? You choose. In the absence of choosing to be great, you choose to be mediocre. That'll just happen on its own. Now, how do you use this manual? It's a tool. It's not a book to be read once and put on the shelf. You should read and reread the manual. You should devour its contents. You should take notes in the margins. You should practice at training meetings with your team, the delivery of certain lines. You should workshop this in your training meetings. In other words, absorb it, practice it, become fluent in winning ways, a smarter sales career. Only through practice will skill develop. Learning plus practice equals skill. So follow the manual, please, keep it close. Now I'm going to take you through the start of Foundation One, which is our mission and our culture. And over on page four, your mission, successful organizations and individuals can articulate what they stand for and what they're trying to achieve. Can you highlight articulate what they stand for and what they're trying to achieve? Now it also says there, organizations and individuals. So as an individual, what do you stand for? Do you stand for mediocrity, or do you stand for being the best you can possibly be? Do you stand for setting goals and achieving those goals, or do you stand for not being focused, not being disciplined, just drifting along? What do you stand for? So I have no doubt your leader knows where he or she wants to take their companies. I'm sure leaders know where they want to take their company. What about you as an individual? What are your standards? What do you stand for as a salesperson? So let's look at the pillars of success. First of all, goals. Now, I'm probably telling you something that you already know. I nag salespeople about goals. Because one thing I know, as a person who spent a large amount of time drifting, I know that when I was undisciplined and unfocused, I also didn't have goals. I also know at the time when I sat down and I was looking down the business end of turning 40, and I sat down with goals, and I knew how to set goals, and I knew the importance of goals, but I had not set them. I knew that once, but I can tell you the 10 years that came after that, when I said, right, enough's enough, and I set goals, things changed. And when I say things change, I changed. Because I was focused on something that I wanted to achieve for my family and for myself. I knew what that was clearly. I knew how much I needed to earn to make those goals a reality. I knew how much in fees I needed to bring into the agency. I knew how much that was per quarter. I knew how many sales at my gross average selling fee, my average bonusable dollars per side. I knew that I needed to get so many sides. I needed to get so many sales. I needed to get so many listings. I also knew that to get that many listings per month, I had to speak to so many people. And then I worked out the sources. And I worked out how many people I needed to speak to from each of the different sources. And I picked my favourite sources for prospecting. You know why? Because I'm going to be more enthusiastic about doing the sources I like than the sources I don't like. Okay, and then all I had to do was start and focus on today? What am I going to do today, one day at a time? And you string enough successful one days at a time, you'll be successful, guarantee you. So this is what we need to be thinking about. Now, I can tell you when I did that, I was focused every day. When I didn't do that, I was unfocused, undisciplined for years. And I can tell you the difference between the years when I mucked around to the years when I didn't, and the difference was focus, the difference was drive, the difference was a level of happiness in my career because I felt like I had control. I was working towards something. Now, if you ignore goals, then you choose to be unfocused. Don't whinge about your leader being on your back if you're unfocused. But you can do something about it, set goals. Next is attitude. With the right attitude, you'll learn. And really, when I see a salesperson passes a winning ways exam that they needed to pass in order to be appointed as a salesperson on the team, and then 3 months later, while they're still just completing their trial, they pass again. A year later, after they've been in sales for 12 months, their pass mark is abysmal. It's even a little bit lower than what it was when they first joined the company. I say that that's an attitude problem. I say that that's a culture problem. And if you don't have the culture of the pursuit of excellence, then if you don't have the attitude that I need to be the best that I can possibly be, you're going to let your study fall by the wayside. And that's why a lot of teams have had a slow recovery from this change in the market. They just weren't ready for this kind of market because they let their skill drop. That is an attitude. That is an attitude problem that those salespeople have and that their leader also has. Learning, the sure sign of a clear career on the slide, is where learning stops. You know, been there, done that, that's a loser statement. Come on. We learn something every day, don't we? And do we love what we learn? Do we find a time to use it? You know, something that you learned 5 years ago, never know when it's going to just pop in and you're going to say something at a presentation. You're going to think, where did that come from? Do you know where it came from? Learning. Not learning that you did just before you were sitting in the car to go into that presentation. It was learning that you did a week ago, a month ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and it was there when you needed it. That's the power of learning. That's the power of reinforcement. Opportunity, it's everywhere, and we constantly look for it. We seek opportunities to learn and our grow, to live our mission. Now, let's look on page 5, and page 5 are the non-negotiables. Now, I want you to highlight the word non. Okay, what does non-negotiable mean? That means I don't even think about these things. These become part of my values. It would not dawn on me to not live up to a non-negotiable. I said a non-negotiable once, never to drive past a for sale by owner sign. And the time I was tempted to do it and I was almost on the corner, I went, no, it's non-negotiable. I turned around the corner, I went in, and I actually got that listing. I would have driven past a listing had I not done so. So this is where we have to be thinking all the time. If I say this is non-negotiable, if I say I'm going to speak to 40 people a day and that's a non-negotiable, that means I do it every day. No excuses, because the moment I start breaking promises to myself, then I'm in big trouble. So call first. Winners don't hide behind emails or texts. They speak with their clients, either in person or by telephone. Isn't it funny? The temptation to sit down to an email send an email is overwhelming sometimes. And I mean people who should know better. I can think of one person. I'm going to name him right now, and I don't want to embarrass him, but I probably will. His name's Gary Pittard. Okay? On Friday, early evening, I'd had this thing that was a recurring little challenge with an agency, and really it was something I thought they should have known better. And I started to write an email. I was about 2 paragraphs in, and I left the email, and I got up and I went and I picked up the phone, right? And I phoned that person. And what I found out was I was on completely the wrong track. Okay, so had I sent that email, it would have not only been embarrassing, it would have taken a fair amount of recovery. But pick up the phone, and I went, this is what you mean. Well, hang on, why don't we look at this, 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 and this? And it was fixed in 5 minutes, followed by 15 minutes of pleasant conversation, and then see you later, have a good weekend. Now, that total 20 minutes time is what it would have taken to draft that email, probably a little bit longer. But it would have taken a long time to recover had I sent it. Isn't it simple? pick up the phone, because you don't always know 100% where they're coming from. Pick up the phone and find out. Really important. And it's so easy. Let me tell you, it is so easy to slide into send an email. Results, not excuses. We've talked about that. That's how I opened. Yeah, that's what we're in the business of. We're in the business of performance. We're in the business of results. We're not in the business of making excuses. Yep, I want you to speak to 40 people a day. Yep, that means you've got to start at the latest 9 o'clock. And yes, I know during the week there are a lot of people that aren't home. And yes, I know that you can't prospect on Sundays legally in Australia. Yeah, so yes, I know that you can't legally prospect a cold prospect after 6 o'clock. Yes, I know all that stuff. And but we're not paid to find the people who aren't home, are we? We're paid to find the people who are. So what we are is we're going to call first. You know, if I've got a seller that I really don't want to speak to because I'm not looking forward to that conversation, that's the call I make first. Get it out of the way because it gets it out of your head. Would you agree? We call first. It's results, not excuses. Come on. It's learning. 30 minutes every day is number 3. 30 minutes every day. Now, that includes days off. Does it really hurt you to read for 30 minutes a business book? Are you going to go for a? Are you going to walk the dog, go for a walk, just to put on some headphones and listen to something on iTrain? Come on, 30 minutes a day? Are you interested in your craft? The 30 minutes that you spend learning every day will show on your group certificate. It will show on your income. Quality feedback. Witnesses know that feedback is essential for clients' decision-making processes. The better the feedback, the more clients become empowered to make decisions. And be professionals. You know professionals when they see them. How do you stack up is the question you should be asking yourself. How do I stack up to my image of a professional? Do I talk, walk and act professionally? Do I look professional? Do I smell professional? Is my breath always fresh? Okay, that's the professional is the whole package, not just strengths in any particular area. A professional is the whole package. Let's look at the levels of excellence, and I know I know most of you would know gold, badge, platinum, and diamond, but we've got a new level of excellence in here, and that's the first level, which is the professional level. So for those of you who have just started in your agency, the first level that you can reach. I'm not saying you should reach it if you want to go straight for gold, but the first level to reach is professional level. To be considered as a professional in real estate sales, you must achieve in a 12-month period $300,000 in gross dollars. Now, this is a transition level, one where you move from being a rookie salesperson to a valuable team member. It's the only level where you'll be recognised for dollars only. So you bring in $300,000. Okay, let me tell you that your leader wouldn't be in any hurry to fire you. But it's the only level where you're going to be recognised for dollars only. Now, there'll be no badge or certificate issued when you reach professional level. The level recognises your achievement of core competencies. Having achieved this level, you work for the next level of achievement. So there's not going to be any great hoorah when you bring your $300,000 in the door, but you don't have enough sides to become a gold member. But you, at least your leader can say, well, this person's reached professional. There's no certificate, there's no acknowledgement except from a pat on the back from your leader. Right, now let's look at the numbers is what your leader will say next. And the next level is the gold level. This is $300,000. Again, the same level as professional in dollars, $300,000 in dollars, but you do the numbers as well, 100 sides. So remember, a side is a listing sold or a sale started. So if you work in an office with me, and I sell one of your listings, when it becomes unconditional, you get awarded one side, I get awarded one side. If you do a list and sell of your own listing, then you get awarded two sides when it becomes unconditional. Sides recognises the fact that a person's listings are selling. So we don't want to just recognise the person who makes the sale, we want to recognise the person whose listings are selling as well. That's what sides does. So to reach gold, you bring $300,000 in fees in the door plus 100 sides. Another alternative measurement for the gold badge level is $400,000 in fees and 80 sides. You can then go to platinum level, or feel free to go straight to platinum level if you like. Don't worry about professional or gold, go straight to platinum. $500,000 in fees, in gross dollars and 100 sides, and then diamond, it's $1 million in gross fees and 120 sites. To keep qualifying, to renew your gold qualification, you need to qualify 3 years in a row. And provided your attitude is good and you either do the sides or the dollars, then you'll be able to renew your gold level. Do that 3 years in a row, you remain on permanent gold. With platinum, if you renew 2 years in a row, you reach the sides or the dollars, and as provided your attitude's right, you'll stay permanent platinum. And with diamond, reach it once, you stay permanent diamond. So they're the levels of excellence. Ongoing standards required to renew is what I've just told you. So these are the standards. These are the levels. And look, nothing disturbs me more. Well, probably there are things that disturb me more. But let me tell you that right up there is to see somebody that's been in an agency a long time wearing the entry-level blue badge. Because I look at some of these people, and I've seen some of them over the years. They're competent. They appear to be competent. It seems to me that they remain employed in the agency. So why are they employed? They must be bringing the money in the door, you would think. But it also appears to me that they've never once sat down and said, you know what, I'm going for the gold badge level. And really, that's in my book, that's the minimum you should be at, a gold badge. Because what it means is you've decided to hit the numbers. And if you're bringing in $300,000 a year at the professional level, and in order to achieve a gold badge, you might have to bring in $400,000 to reach the 80 sides. And that $400,000 represents a 33% increase in your performance. Well, what are you telling me, that you can't do it? I don't believe that for a second. It tells me that you haven't set it as a goal and you haven't planned it. And perhaps you're not willing to pay the price of making the extra calls, speaking to the extra people per day in order to do it. Doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means that you've chosen not to. And by not taking that extra step and going to that level of excellence, I put it to you that that is a step more towards mediocrity than it is to greatness. Just something to think about.